TNA president in London today. You've come over from Nashville, I guess, not plain sailing all along the way?
No, my flight was delayed and I missed my flight over to London, but I caught another one and arrived here and pretty much came straight up here. So going on no sleep, though, so you'll have to excuse me. I even walked down here with no contacts on. I'm like, I can't even see Big Ben.
So we're here in the middle of Westminster, which is where we can see Big Ben and stuff. It's obviously not your first time here in London in the UK. What's going on? Why are you here? What you're announcing?
Well, first of all, we love it over here. I love it over here personally. One of the greatest cities in the world, obviously. But London and the United Kingdom has become a second home to TNA. We've had such tremendous success over here. And I'm over here in advance of us going on sale for our 2014 tour. And I'm also over here to announce that first time ever that we are going to be filming television from Scotland this year at the new arena, the Hydro. The first time, from what I understand, that any worldwide wrestling has ever filmed television in Scotland, any city at any time. So we're really excited about that. And we're the first venue to come in to... the first, wrestling to come into the venue at the Hydro. So it'll be a big show for us. We're actually this year going to film parts of Impact, parts of our television show, at all four of our stops in Glasgow, and then we'll be in Manchester, Wembley in London, and then Birmingham. So we're very excited about that.
Because I suppose the fans up there in, the further kind of north you go within Britain, it's kind of a little bit like, without wanting to sound insulting, because I come from that part of the world myself, sort of thing, there's less and less going on. You know, in London, there's everything going on. You can go and see, big shows or big musical, theatre or whatever, every night of the week, sort of thing. The further you go up the kind of country, the less things kind of get. So I suppose this is actually quite a big announcement, isn't it? That, these fans are going to get to see, TNA live.
Well, I'm shocked that no one has ever done television from Scotland before. Not just Glasgow, but Scotland in general. So we're very excited to bring TNA Impact Wrestling live there, and we're actually going to satellite it back to the United States live. So instead of it being a taped show in the United States, it'll be a slight time delay, tape delay on that. But it'll be a big, some big exciting changes for the tour this year.
Because I suppose the shows that went down here in January earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Four shows taped for television, right. But it was by the time, I suppose, that the final show from London aired, it was about a month after it actually happened. Yes. So I suppose you're speeding up this process.
Well, yes. So one will be live. We'll tape bits of the second show from Glasgow as well. Then we'll tape a few things from Manchester. We'll tape not two full shows from London, but we'll tape a good solid show with some parts of another. And then some in Birmingham. So I just think it's a really good opportunity for the crowds around the world. We're seeing in over 120 countries worldwide to see how fantastic and fanatical our UK fans are.
So this is the latest kind of development in what has been a very different 2013, I suppose, for TNA. Because, there has been the television being taped around the world, which is not the new thing. But one of the new things, the way you're doing television, you're out of the Impact Zone now. You've moved out of Orlando, which... a rabid sort of fan base, but not the biggest kind of arena in the world. And was there perhaps a sense of, I don't want to say complacency, but the fact that, the guys and girls, the performers, the wrestlers were kind of getting maybe, they knew what to do to pop that crowd every week, whereas when you go city to city, you go to Chicago and the Sears Centre and you go Corpus Christi for, Bound for Glory and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think it affected the in-ring product as much as it affected the home viewing product, because really, our fans are so crazy when they're watching the show. They're part of the show. And like you said, it was a smaller venue. We had the largest sound stage at Universal Studios. A lot of television has been shot from there. But for us, it just wasn't quite big enough. They were great partners. But, I think we have taken 2013 and completely changed our model across the board, taking our television out on the road. And the only reason we didn't do it earlier, it was truly a business decision, because to tour is so expensive, I'm looking at the long term, livelihood of this company and the health of this company fiscally, and so we just needed to make sure it was the right time. But it was the right time, and we've also cut our pay per views from 12 down to 4 live pay-per-views with 8 really great pay-per-view specials that air over here called One Night Only series. So it's a definitely a big year for us, a lot of big changes.
On the pay-per-view then, is that... It seems almost to me maybe one step back to go 2 steps forward in terms of you know, making sure that the really big events are really big, that we get the kind of, you know, you go back to the late 80s and the early 90s, and both of the big 2 companies at that time had 4 pay-per-view events of the year, and you know, we'd look forward to, you know, WrestleMania or something like that. Right. We'd start knowing the matches for that from February onwards, and it would be like, when they're going to announce the next big match, when they're going to announce the next big match. It's kind of, it's more of a, it's almost going back in time a little bit, but to an extent where those biggest events were really big, and the taped events perhaps that you're going to have are actually going to be no worse off.
Yeah, does that kind of make sense? Absolutely, it does make sense. And I think that, you know, the pay-per-view business has changed so much. When, you know, we started as a 52-week-a-year pay-per-view company with no free television driving to pay-per-view.
Which seems a little bit insane in hindsight.
It probably was a lot insane in hindsight. I think, you know, it was a couple years too late. And, you know, I think the concept, the uniqueness to it was there. But, you know, the business had already fallen off so much. And I think it was just underestimated, you know, that, you know, people need to be able at no cost to fall in love with a product before they want to pay to try it, especially on a weekly basis. So, you know, so from us, we've really gone full circle from the 52-week-a-year pay-per-views to 12, now down to 4 major ones and 8 specials.
Now, the fact then that you have taken these 8 pay-per-views, they were all taped, I think, in Orlando. It opens up the prospect then of perhaps pay-per-views in other parts of the world, does it not? I mean, you know, are we looking in the near future perhaps at a pay-per-view event or events being taped here in Britain?
You know, people have asked me, are you going to bring a pay-per-view, you know, to the United Kingdom? And I'll tell you, I would love to do that. But the truth is, so many more people would get to see it when it's on television versus pay-per-view. So because our television shows, you know, we're going to keep them very action-packed, and, you know, you're not going to see a lot of the pre-tapes, the backstory. It's going to truly be, you know, pay-per-view quality matches for television, which is what we pride ourselves on our television show. But, you know, no, we eventually may do a pay-per-view over here. I definitely think we'll be shooting some explosion matches over here as well in 2014. But to me, these audiences and these venues are so fantastic. I just want as many people possible to see it.
In terms of other kind of TNA programming that we've seen recently, then the British Boot Camp, which was, I've gone on record and saying that this wasn't just a good, it wasn't just good TNA programming, it wasn't just good wrestling programming. This was just a good show completely.
Oh, thank
full
you so
stop.
Much.
And I know that that Jeremy Borash worked really hard on it, and, you know, perhaps wants to do more. I mean, are we going to see British Boot Camp again, or are we going to see the format taken to other countries perhaps as well?
Well, maybe both. We're in discussions right now with Challenge about doing a second season of that. And that show is just currently airing right now in Australia. And there's discussions with them and a few other countries about doing their own boot camp series. So I think, you know, it was as real as it possibly could be to see everything. And, you know, I know from my perspective, it was never scripted, and I just tried to forget that the cameras were around and just go through the process of what we would. We were pretty critical of them, but at the same time, you know, they deserved a lot of praise because we had 4 really, really good contenders. I got to tell you, Hulk Hogan was a big baby when it came to the finale and trying to pick somebody. I was like, dude, come on, help me out here. You know, you are just no help, zero help. I like them all, you know, like you can't like them all. So in the end, I kind of had to be the one to step up. And he agreed. He agreed there at the very end. But it was a tough decision and a really emotional one. I mean, I think the 4 contestants and Hulk and I, we all got emotional there at the end.
It was Rockstar Spud who won it. The program kind of ended just before the UK tour, so of course the the boot camp stars were all over the UK tour and stuff like that. Spud, I think, now is down in the developmental league in Louisville, I guess.
In Louisville, Kentucky, yes.
So is the plans to keep him there for a little while and then bring him to the main roster, or what's going to happen with Spud for
Well, I hope you'll see him very soon. We did something last week on our show where people could vote, and I think they can still vote on, you know, who these next X Division wrestlers are going to be. We've started doing, you know, three-way X Division matches are so incredibly exciting. And so to keep the X Division at the forefront of our show and give it the time it deserves, you know, we've come up with a unique new system for us for X Division. And Rockstar is up for one of the three fan-voted slots. And so I'm actually really hopeful that he gets it.
There have been a good few innovations, haven't there, in terms of developing new talent. This Gut Check series, which is, I guess, you know, two unsigned wrestlers have a match against each other. It's then down to a panel of judges to decide from there whether, you know, they're worthy of a full-time contract. But I guess there's also the stuff you've been doing through the website as well, where I guess a number of British competitors have been in the running for, effectively, is it fan voting or is it...
Well, that's a fan-voted site, but we take it down even a step further than that. I mean, we have, every other month, we have gut check seminars around the country. And we've done that to, you know, just give ourselves a chance to see, you know, some of the wonderful, great independent talent that's out there. And we found, you know, several talent from there. I know we found Crimson from there. I think maybe it was Rosita. And there's a few more. Jesse Goddard's just, but there were several that we have that are currently on the roster that, you know, we would have never found had they just not bought a plane ticket and showed up at, you know, just they took a training chance to really show their goods. And I encourage people when everybody's like, how do I get in TNA? The best way to get into TNA is to sign up for one of these gut checks, because what other chance are you going to have to get in front of all of the people who make decisions? And then it's up to you to steal the show. And we're praying every time we go in there, we find somebody. And when we don't, we're really disappointed. But there's been a few times we've walked away with a couple of people, and it's been exciting.
So we're talking about Spud, we're talking about Magnus, we're talking about Rob Terry. There's a good few British competitors within the TNA system, whether it be, you know, on TV on Impact every week or down in Louisville in OVW. I mean, are we looking at perhaps more British competitors becoming part of TNA, particularly, as you say, because, you know, TNA is, you know, just incredible business here in the UK?
Right, absolutely. You know, Doug Williams is actually in one of the greatest, I think, UK wrestlers in the business, is at OVW for us right now training. And hopefully we will continue to see him at times on television. And I announced in Manchester last year that the Blossoms, we brought them in as well under a developmental deal. So they didn't win Gut Check, and they, you know, they still have to kind of earn their dues. But, you know, I would love to see, you know, some female representation of the United Kingdom too. Rob Terry he's come so far, and I have to credit that a lot to Doug Williams working with him. He has worked his butt off at OVW. But, you know, Magnus, I mean, he could be the future face of our company.
It sounds like from a lot of the things you've told me about, and a lot of the things that you're trying to put in place, that there is a real intention to try and grow this company this year. To what extent is it realistic to think that you can be the genuine competition in a kind of an equal scenario for WWE? Or is it one of those things where it's like, well, they are this big, absolute mega giant, and, you know, it's kind of almost impossible to get there?
No, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think that we were capable of that and more. But I think to do so, we have to grow the wrestling fan base. We have to do things differently. We have to go after a different audience maybe than they even have. So, and it's not about going after the old WCW audience. It's really about creating new type of programming, doing different things worldwide, and even expanding beyond what our current base is to find new fans and new innovative ways of, you know, getting there. But we have every intention of doing that.
One final thing I want to ask you about is in relation to that, there was a series of Twitter exchanges between yourself and Stephanie McMahon, I guess about a month ago. I guess she must
I
have...
wouldn't call it a series. But yeah.
So no, I guess there must have been a meeting. Was it a chance meeting or was it just something?
No, it was actually a very sad meeting. We met at the church at Ric Flair's son's funeral. And she and Hunter were there. And the three of us had never met before. And I was there with Sting. And we were just kind of put in this back room waiting for each other. So, you know, it was a very interesting meeting. Lovely people. I just wish them luck personally. They had a big weekend with WrestleMania coming up, and I did so publicly. I think it's important. Look, I have a different philosophy than maybe other people do. I think that there's plenty to go around. I think competition is healthy. I think to not want to have competition is absolutely ludicrous. And I think it's better for the fans. I think it's better for the product. I think it makes us all work harder. And if we want to grow wrestling to be, you know, as big as it can be globally, I think that that's important. So she did respond. I think there were a lot of tweets kind of between the fans, but she did respond in a very kind manner.